Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, looking to nature for discoveries in food, feed, and fuel. ADM, resourceful by nature.
Soybeans make contract lows, and there's an LDP. And some insist corn has made a harvest low on the Board of Trade. Can that really be? Well, we'll try to find out today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later this half hour, we'll talk with Steve Freed of ADM Investor Services. Our panelists today are Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities from Normal, Illinois, and Wyatt Muse of the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Let's open today's discussion with this question. Some say a corn harvest low is already in place at the Chicago Board of Trade. Can that really be? We haven't even opened the machine shed doors yet. Paul Cooley.
Todd, a special tip of the hat to you and Dave Dickey for being on the Patterns magazine cover, and it's a real tribute and a way to say, hey, you're important in the Midwest. Also, I want to say that my views, and not necessarily ADM investors or ADM, but I think it is very close. FC Stone came out today with 151 bushel national average. And just looking at those numbers, I think that there's several states, particularly I think we could lower east of the Mississippi, some numbers there, and I think that the yields will be down some. The marketplace has done a lot of preparing for this crop through better transportation, to more grain storage, and also have talked this big crop to death. And I think that when it's all said and done, my visits to the cornfield indicate that it's probably 151 at least.
And if we have a better transportation system, I'll ask you again, the contract lows in at this point?
I think it's very, very close, Todd. And my opinion is if anything under the last USDA number is a major bottom in the market.
Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, your assessment of the corn market for the week?
I think we have to get into harvest and get partway through before we make harvest lows. The last 2 years we've been under $2. I don't think we'll go that low. But I think after this next report, somewhere between mid-September and mid-October, we'll see harvest lows, and I think we could go another dime lower than the lows we made before.
And Wyatt DeMuse.
It's going to be hard to grind a whole lot lower than our previous lows, especially with every time there's a break in the market, it seems like there's a lot of people out there wanting to buy it, and farmers who have hedges farther out in next year and into 08 wanting to re-on those positions.
Corn futures look like this for the week. The high in the September contract at 232 and a quarter, the low at $2.22. September corn settled 5 cents higher from last Friday at $2.30 even. And December futures at 245 and three quarters were up 4 cents from last week. Paul Cooley gave us a quick synopsis of what some of the numbers look like for the next crop production report. They were released by FC Stone in Allendale this week. FC Stone says 151 bushels to the acre at 10.88 billion bushel crop. As it happens, Allendale says almost the same, roughly speaking. If you round them up, 151 bushels to the acre and a 10.88 billion bushel crop. Is that about right, do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable number. You have to look also at the state-by-state breakdown. I mean, as you go west and look into South Dakota, FC Stone only have them at 92 bushels to the acre. I think that's accurate. It's not like they're trying to pump this crop up to be more than it actually is.
And the 151, of course, would be below the 152.2 that USDA came out in August. And most people think generally that those numbers start to grow over time, but apparently USDA must have been a lot closer to the mark this time around.
Well, USDA bumped theirs up from past years, and we had heat damage throughout the Midwest that nobody really knew what that would amount to. So when people started going out into their fields in central Illinois, they realized that, hey, we don't have this 200-plus that we were looking at. We have 160 to 180. And I think that what we're looking at is a realistic number. I think the carryover from last year and another good-sized crop, 10-8-8 is still a big crop, has got to have some time to grind through.
I think the Illinois crop at 172 is a little large. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if it isn't a little smaller. The Indiana crop came in at 166 on Stone's number. The government had it 167. If you divide the state of Indiana in half, we know the north half does have a pretty good crop. The south half did take a beating. Anything that was replanted in the state of Indiana, the yields just drop off. We talked about that in length in our Terre Haute Outlook meeting. The pollination, anything that was stressed late had some pollination problems, and it was just strictly stress from early planting and poor emergence. So I think the genie is out of the bottle. We're very close, and it does look like, in my opinion, the crop can be put to bed pretty quick and pretty easy with these kind of numbers.
Am I right on the soybean number, Paul? It was a 51 out of Indiana from FC Stone. Is that the correct number, too?
For Indiana, 51.
And 166 on their corn. And I know that the Terre Haute meetings, you're talking about the one that was at Terre Haute Grain that you and I and Wayne Nelson and Kay Whitlock put on down there not so long ago. And those guys really told us that they had been suffering a lot. And I suppose if you haven't made it all the way into that part of the world, that you might not know that. How tough is it in the southern part of Indiana? And does that translate into the southern part of Illinois, too?
You bet. Anything south of Mattoon, Illinois, we are picking up that the stress did pick up some of the corn crop. We are picking up some early yields. Even the seed corn at West Union probably isn't as good a crop as it was last year. So it is showing some divergence of opinion. And I think the big factor here, Todd, is that I even had a customer who was on the Pro Farmer Tour, and he confirmed that he didn't think Indiana would hit that big home run that they're talking about.
We know that it ranks, I think, fifth in corn production, and I think that's right, fourth
also,
in soybean production. Does this really matter very much?
Well, you bet. Indiana, I think, has about 5 million acres of corn. Also, the hurricane is dumping 15 inches of rain in Virginia and Pennsylvania and the Carolinas. That's not a lot of corn acreage, but when you talk about 10 to 15 inches of rain on 1.5 to 2 million acres, it does have an effect on production, and they're big users of feed grain in that part of the country.
Wyatt, the Andersons have a number of elevators across the state of Indiana and parts of Michigan. What's the home office telling you about the Indiana crop?
Indiana crop improved greatly. Paul alluded earlier to the replanted corn being a little bit behind, but I do agree with him there, but I think the Indiana crop, at least north of I-74, looks pretty good. About 3 weeks ago, I was in the Logansport area visiting two of our elevators over there and got out in the country a little bit and was very, very impressed with the crop. Cut back across through Fowler, Indiana, and then came down Route 49 in Illinois, and I'd have to say that the Indiana crop looked every bit as good as it does in this area.
It'll be interesting to see how that shows up because, of course, you've got to weight the south and the north ends of the states, Illinois and Indiana, and usually it's the north end that produces the bulk of the crop. So we'll see how those numbers start to roll in as the combines begin to roll. This month, in fact, let's take a look at some of the other things that have been happening in the marketplace. And I do want to talk a little bit about corn and the cash side. What's the possibility that a cash low has been established already? Do you think that might be the case?
In the short term, yes. One interesting thing to watch is what the basis has been doing. Processor bids have really been coming back. The Decatur processor bid improved about 9 cents over the last week. And not only for their own crush, but one thing to look at, too, is the rail values have come back a lot. The September rail values are trading at a premium over October, November values, and that's a result of a little bit later harvest, some pretty good logistics this year. But the problem there is farmers aren't really selling at these levels. They're really anxious for these higher prices later on, and they're finding every nook and cranny they can in the country to stuff that corn, put it in bins, Quonsets, wherever they can find it, and it's just not making it to town, so to speak, as early as it has in the last few years. And the end users in the feeder market were able to buy corn very cheap last year, extremely wide basis, mostly due to Hurricane Katrina, and they remembered that, and so they were waiting on a huge glut this year, able to buy corn cheap, and they're looking to have to bid up for it right now.
I think the psychology was hit there in that comment, in the fact that the farmer is very strongly bullish. He's going to be a strong holder of the commodity. They build a lot of grain storage. The grain industries also build a lot of grain storage, and we know there are a lot of new ethanol plants out there that are going to take up a lot of the extra slack. The other thing is that part of the big ingredient in this corn equation is that we have to explode the corn acreage next year, you know, 4 to 5 million acres, in order to come up with any kind of a carryover at all. And that when we sit down and talk to these farmers at these meetings, I don't think it's as easy a conclusion to come up with those extra acres that some of the people are alluding to. When I sit down there at these meetings, and particularly in the good go-go areas in north central Illinois, the farmer is wanting to see those $3 a bushel cash prices on corn before they commit to it. Everything is expensive, and they're already pushing the envelope for 60-70% of corn acreage versus beans in those areas. So they really have to push the envelope to get that extra corn planted.
You know, are you really sure that we have to put that many more acres in next year, that we might not be able to just bring the yields up under normal conditions, that the genetics the Monsantos and the rest of the crew are talking about really can make up the difference for this ethanol production, at least in the coming year and maybe 2 years?
Todd, my impression is even the think tanks and Forma down there at Memphis are basically putting in the equation of 5 million more acres, a 900 million carryover, and the demand is just tremendous. The feed demand's good. The export demand, China's got some not exporting the corn volumes that they used to. And, of course, we have this ingredient of the big carry in the marketplace. I've talked about how that's also a market factor. It pays you to carry the corn into next year.
Pete, we talked a little bit about this cash price, and it's narrowed down. I'm not sure that I see that that's much different than what would normally happen at the beginning of harvest, where harvest really hasn't started, and they're starting to be short of their corn, and they want maybe some early deliveries. They were thinking that everything had done it, and then we cooled down, and we're expected to stay cool, and the harvest isn't going to come just quite as quickly as most people thought. What's the possibility that we're just eking along, waiting for that crop to come in, and we'll still have another load to come?
I think that's really a good possibility. One of the things we haven't talked about is all the corn from last year that's still laying around that people have held and are now storing into later this fall or next spring. And when you put that crop carryover, which is huge, with this year's crop, I think that's why we could see lows here at harvest when we do get 40-50% harvested. And, you know, I agree with these guys. We've got great usage, but we haven't got rid of that last year's carryout yet that is there sitting over the top of everything ready to push stuff down.
Let's talk a little bit about soybean. Soybean LDP ranged from 9 to 18 cents across the Midwest. We made new contract lows this week in Chicago, and cash prices in some areas start with a 4. How much lower will it go before finding the bottom?
That's a difficult question to peg. And I recall last spring you asked me how much higher soybeans could go. I recall saying that I saw no good reason for them to go higher. And lo and behold, the next week they rallied a good 15 cents. But big picture, they've sold off over the last 6 months. And they could continue to go lower. We've got a burdensome supply of them out there. And farmers aren't really anxious to sell them, although I think it may be a better idea to think about selling them than holding on to them. Just keep in mind that you don't want to forward sell soybeans now and then end up having them maybe take a little bit of a bounce mid-harvest.
September beans this week, a high of 544, the low at 535.5. Their settlement price at 538.5. They were up 4.5 cents from last week. November contract at 551.5. up 5.5. Your quick assessment, Paul Cooley, of the bean market.
Well, a very quick one is that the FC Stone people came out with a 42.8 bushels per acre average. That's 3.2 bushels above the USDA's numbers. And just using that simple 200 million more carryover and to the government's 450, we'll have a 650 million carryover on soybeans. The government wouldn't come up with that kind of a number, but it does equate some bad news to the Brazilian farmer that's been beat up bad for the last 2 years, which we're not crying over. But this means that at some point in time, the South American farmer probably will have to cut his bean acreage. It's also good news in the fact that the crop is going to get put away, and it does augur well that, you know, I don't think we'll go down to $5 or $5.25 here with even this kind of a number, but I think it does show that we do have a pretty ample supply of soybeans, and maybe that will push an acre or two more corn out there.
Paul gave you the FC Stone number of 42.8 around the nation for soybeans, a 3.166 billion bushel crop. FC Stone says 52 in Illinois, 45 in Iowa, and 51 in Indiana. Allendale at a 42.1 crop for nationwide on the yield and a 3.109 billion bushel soybean crop. Tell me more about what this low price of the beans will have in the way of an impact on the planting season in South America.
Well, the South American farmer right now is not getting a very good price at all due to the exchange of the U.S. dollar and their money. Somewhere I've been told of 3 to 3.25 a bushel. What would we plant if we were getting that per bushel for beans? So the low price this fall is going to help determine what they plant, how many fewer acres they plant. There's people ranging anywhere from 5 to 15%. I think most people are in the 7 to 10%. And then if we grow 2 to 3 to 4 million less acres here due to more corn, all of a sudden beans look good for next fall, even with this big carryover that we have right now.
Let's round out this part of Commodity Week with some of the rest of the numbers from the Chicago Board of Trade. September wheat, a high of 405, a low at 379. They settled at 401.25, up 22.75 from last week. July at 451, up 19.25. We'll take that up with Steve Fried in just a moment. And over at the Mercantile Exchange, the October live cattle at $94 even on the high, the low at $88.95. They're the new lead option. October from last week, a settlement $4.70, higher at $93.35. The September feeder cattle are the new lead at $116.55. They were up 2.5 from last week. One other number from the Board of Trade, the September oats at $183.75, up 8.25 from last week.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. A persistent upper-level low-pressure system brought a wet, cool end to the month of August, a nice change from the hot, humid start to the month. Rainfall this week was well above normal across most of Illinois, the one exception being far southeastern Illinois, where rainfall was near to slightly below normal. Rainfall for the month of August as a whole was normal or above across most of the state. The exception was extreme northern Illinois, where rainfall was slightly below normal. Temperatures this week ranged from about normal in southeastern Illinois to 4 degrees below normal in the northwestern portion of the state. High temperatures the last half of the week remained mostly in the 70s, compared to normal highs in the low to mid-80s for the end of August. For the month as a whole, temperatures ended up slightly above normal, ranging from 2 degrees above normal in southwestern Illinois to near normal in the north. Another upper-level low will crawl through the Midwest this weekend and early next week. This will maintain the mostly cloudy and cool weather in Illinois through most of the week, although there will be some sun from time to time. In addition, there will be a chance for showers just about each day through the end of the week. Temperatures will continue to average below normal. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to Commodity Week on AM 580. Our panelists in studio are Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, Wyatt Muse of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois, and Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Joining us now from Chicago is 26-year veteran, and I think I have that number right, of the commodity markets and vice president of research for ADM Investor Services, Steve Fried. Thanks much, Steve. Did I get the number right?
I think everything's right. It sounds like a lot, though.
Well, that means that you're an expert in the area. So you're one of the folks that I saw that maybe mentioned about the bottom being in the corn market. You're only suggesting that, not calling it. What would have to happen for you to say the harvest low is in for both the cash and the futures markets in the corn?
Well, I think that this week corn rallied back to near the prices that we had before the August crop report, and I think part of that had to do with all the talk about the corn crop maybe being at least the same size. The last couple of years, USDA has added 800 million bushels from the August report to the final, and I don't think people think that's going to happen. And one of the things that you heard in volume out at the Farm Progress Show, and I know this is just basically Iowa and Illinois farmers, but they were pretty much done selling cash. I think they forward sold a lot of cash, and they've got storage, and so I think, you know, the factor that the crop might not be getting bigger and the farmers done selling for a while suggests that we're pretty close to cash lows. And I think the September 12th report the USDA puts out is pretty important. If they come out below the August, you know, I think that'll give courage not only to the speculators but the end users maybe to step in and buy some futures.
Steve, what do you see that it would take to encourage this bean market, not just right now but going into the spring? I mean, a huge shift in corn acres, some unknown demand at this time, or is there anything that could excite this market?
We've been in trading range for a year and a half. I think that probably will continue. Obviously, when you look down the road and see the potential for lower acres in Brazil, the potential for switching of acres in the United States, the continued increase in world protein demand, all the talk about biodiesel demand growing, it makes the outlook in late in 07 and 08 a little brighter than it is now. And I think that we've learned in this whole trading range that once you get below a certain price level, like we were, let's say, below the 540 in November beans, the farmer just stops selling. And again, you kind of get the feel that whether it's an elevator or the farmer, everybody's decided to store this crop, maybe take some LDPs, use the loan, I mean, do a lot of different things rather than sell cash at harvest this year.
Steve, Pete here. On the basis, I mean, we've had a very, very wide basis. Sure, it has tightened up a little bit this week, but we're still at 30, 32 in central Illinois on corn and 48 on beans. Is that going to have to do some of the work to pry it out of the farmers' hands, or what can we expect there? Can we expect that thing to really improve after harvest if everybody slams their door shut, or what would you think about that?
Well, I think that in the case of corn, when you go back and look historically when we're going from a 2 billion bushel carryout to a 1.2 billion bushel carryout, there's a tendency for once you get through about 50% of the harvest that we'll start seeing an appreciation in the basis. And, you know, we really don't hope for any problems at the Gulf like we had last year at this time. And, you know, transportation costs are still going to stay pretty expensive. But, you know, I think the basis should appreciate once we get through harvest for corn. In the case of beans, I mean, that, you know, 600 million bushel carryout, you know, it's going to kind of weigh on and be a pretty significant resistance to the marketplace. And I think the bean basis is just going to be very volatile and be the main catalyst for whether we need to buy beans or not buy beans as the year progresses. Because, you know, one thing that we do note is that we do have record demand, and we have seen a lot of purchases by China recently for U.S. beans in the first quarter, and they would probably buy more if ocean freight was cheaper. So, you know, those are all factors that should be positive eventually to the bean basis also.
You know, Steve, you were out in the Farm Progress Show, and, of course, you are at a lot of outlook meetings in the Midwest. You know, the tone I get is that the American farmer is very upbeat and very optimistic. Do you get that same feeling when you're out in the Midwest?
I think so. I think that they're real happy with the yields, and I think that they're obviously concerned about increasing cost. When you're in the western part of the Corn Belt, they're real excited about yields going up out there. It was remarkable that people were saying out the Farm Progress Show that looking at the construction of ethanol plants, there'll be an ethanol plant opening up one per week in 2007. So you know, I think they're pretty optimistic about that. One thing, you know, when you start reading things out of Washington about, you know, where's the next farm bill, what it's going to look like, there's a little bit of concern about reduced subsidies and what that means, because subsidies are a very important part of total farm income, and there's a tendency to write farm bills based on, you know, what's happening now as a reaction rather than looking ahead. And so I think when they came through the ADM tent, you know, they were happy with their yields. You know, they were asking a lot of questions, obviously, about the futures and prices, but they also quickly asked, what's the next farm bill going to look like? And that's a very important part of their whole business plan.
You talked about the ethanol plants. How many acres or how much more production has to come, and what did you hear at Farm Progress Show that tells you one way or the other whether it's yield bump or acreage? And did you change your mind on what the acreage increases might have to be after being at Farm Progress Show with all the seed companies this past week?
Well, I still think Mother Nature plays an important role in final yields, and a very high percentage of time she's very favorable about growing conditions in the United States. Seed companies are very optimistic about where yields are going, and I think that helps a little bit in trying to talk about satisfying this growing demand. But I think you also need the increase in acres just to make sure that you satisfy that demand and allow it to continue to grow. So, you know, I think every time we sit down and look at these yield technology, we're impressed, and we can plug in the additional numbers. But you know, switching the acres possibly from beans to corn, well, I think will also help ensure an adequate supply.
And very quickly, in 15 seconds, maybe address the wheat market for me and the rise we had this past week.
Demand. I think that when you go into a year with record low world stocks, any demand is going to pop it up. And I think that it's a very volatile market. Going to have wide trading range in 07, depending upon the 07 supply. We're concerned about weather in Australia and Argentina. It's going to be a very volatile market.
We appreciate you being with us, Steve.
Thank you.
Steve Fried is the Vice President of Research at ADM Investor Services. A quick word from our panelists in studio, Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services.
A special thank you, Todd, for all the work you do for the station and all the Outlook meetings in the Midwest. You make it fun.
Thank you much, Paul. Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities.
As you get ready to harvest and get out there doing it, be careful. Make sure you're in good shape and take a rest if you need it.
And Wyatt Muse of the Andersons.
Hope everyone gets to enjoy their harvest. And also take note to keep a watch on posted county prices this fall and be prepared to LDP your bins or do what needs to be done anytime that basis or the board might pop.
That wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. Something to keep in mind, you can access this Commodity Week program and analysis throughout the week on demand on your computer. Our site on the World Wide Web is willag.org. There you'll find Commodity Week, weekly analysis, cash grain reports, weather and feature interviews with agricultural newsmakers. I'm Todd Gleason.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, looking to nature for discoveries in food, feed, and fuel. ADM, resourceful by nature.